And that's what the Bible's teaching us. But let's look at chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled." Now remember, this is Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, who has been ruling and reigning, quote unquote, but it was Abner who was the real leader who was pulling the strings. Well, now that Abner's been killed and he's out of the way, Ish-bosheth can't lead on his own. He knows he doesn't really have the power to do what it takes to keep the kingdom together. And Israel pretty much knows the same thing. They're all troubled too. They realize that it was Abner that had the power. It says, "And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands." So these are officers in Ish-bosheth's army. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other, Rechab. The sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there until this day. So those couple of verses are just explaining to us that even though these guys are quote-unquote Beerothites, ethnically, they're actually Benjamites. So these are actually relatives of Ish-bosheth and of Saul himself. So these are his own family and his own kin. It says in verse 4, "Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." So this verse doesn't really have anything to do with the story that we're reading right now, but he's just explaining something about another descendant of Saul that exists. That, you know, because now that Ish-bosheth is the one son of Saul that's left, they're just letting us know that there is a grandson of Saul that also exists. Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, but he's lame of his feet. He can't walk because of the fact that when Saul and Jonathan were killed and they were afraid of the Philistines who were coming in and invading, that basically the nurse grabbed this kid and fled, and, you know, she basically dropped him or tripped and fell and hurt him to where his feet were permanently injured, and his name is Mephibosheth. He's going to come into play later in the story. It says in verse 5, "The sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana," these are these two officers in Ish-bosheth's army that are also related to him, "Rechab and Baana went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ish-bosheth, who lay on a bed at noon." Now, I don't know why this guy's laying in bed at noon. Maybe that has something to do with why he failed as a leader and why Abner was the one who had all the real power, because this guy's laying in bed sleeping at noon for some reason. But it says that he's laying in bed at noon, and they came thither into the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him, and took his head and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ish-bosheth unto David to Hebron and said to the king, Behold, the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the Lord hath avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baana his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own bed, in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? Now, what he's referring to is what we saw in chapter 1. Where that Amalekite had come and claimed to have killed Saul. And he thought that that was going to get him promotion and advancement. Of course, David still loved Saul, and David was upset that he died and, you know, wasn't going to reward the guy who's claiming to be his murderer. And so he has that guy killed. Of course, we prove from the Bible that the Amalekite was not really the killer of King Saul, but that King Saul had killed himself. And we proved that he was lying by comparing scripture with scripture. You know, when you read this story, it goes to show you that even David at this point doesn't believe the story that Saul was killed by that guy. Because probably when he ordered the guy to be executed, the guy probably recanted his confession that was a false confession and said, wait, I didn't really kill him. I'm sorry, I lied. I just said that. Because David here doesn't say, when a guy came and told me I killed Saul. Do you notice that? He just says, the guy came and told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead. Thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. Now, why is that? Well, flip over to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24 is one example of why David reacts this way when he gets the news that his enemy, Ish-bosheth, has been assassinated in his bed. He's been murdered in cold blood while he lays in bed asleep. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 17. The Bible reads, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." So this is telling us that when our enemies fall or are destroyed or killed, we're not supposed to sit back, you know, like the grumpy cat and say, you know, good. Oh, you died? Good. You know, you got hurt? Good. You know, we're not supposed to glory in and take joy in our opponents, our adversaries, our enemies dying or bad things happening unto them.